Tonight is part 22 of The Wisdom of Solomon. I know last week I told you guys it was 21. I corrected it on the file so that it would be so that people hearing it would be able to keep up and know where it was at. Amen. But this is part 22. We're on chapter 8. I'm just going to kind of reiterate a couple things we already learned. We started on this last week. The first thing we covered was wisdom gives prudence to the simple and an understanding heart to fools. Now, I think I taught enough on that, but it's just every time I look at this, it seems like more opens up to me. The second thing we talked about is that wisdom only speaks excellent, right things. Her words are with righteousness. Amen. And we covered that and we got that in depth. And I really believe that was those things were some valuable things for us to learn and grow in. Tonight, we're going to pick up on the third part of this. And it's Proverbs. It's out of Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 10 through 13. And let me just read this scripture to you, and then I want to kind of just talk to you a little bit about some things God showed me out of this scripture, okay? Proverbs 8, 10 through 13 says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate." Now, the first part of this, it seems like it's a standard thing that wisdom identifies as part of itself. It says, "Receive my instruction." And the word "receive" there is the word lakash, and it means to take. Brown Travis Briggs defines it as to take, to get, to fetch, to lay hold of, to seize, to receive, acquire, or buy. Okay? To receive my instruction. So receive my instruction. Do what it takes to get wisdom's instruction. Now, the word instruction there is that word musar. And I don't know that I've seen any other word used being used for that word instruction, except maybe teaching, straight up teaching. But in Proverbs, it tends to be that word musar, okay, which means chastisement. And that's, you know, this is from Strong's. The first one on receive was from Brown Drivers Briggs, but chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning, or instruction, also restraint. You can look at this, you know, as being a parameters, the parameters of instruction that come from wisdom. And I've said this many times, you know, it could start off as simple as instruction, could be warning. Reproof means to show or convict, to show to be in the wrong. Restraint, you know, which is what we're part of what wisdom wants to teach us is restraint, because you got to understand we're still fallen. We're in that fallen state in our bodies. Now, I know we're born again. I know that we're right with God, but you know, our souls are not born again. You know, we're going through a process of purification and becoming more and more, even though we're already saints in Christ, we're becoming that more and more in the way we conduct our lives and behave and the way we see our relationship with the world and as opposed to our relationship with God. Amen. But in the process of that, you got to understand, and you go read, you know, Hebrews 12 if you want, because it talks about chastisement and how, you know, whom the Lord loves, he chastises, you know, and that's, you know, a lot of people have tried to downplay that to say just discipline, but it means more than discipline. It means a lot of what you see right here. You know, that corrective nature of wisdom, the corrective nature of the word. I mean, I can't read, it doesn't seem like I can read 5 or 10 scriptures, and maybe not even that much, before I see a correction coming from the word of God. Something that's telling me how I'm supposed to change. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of times Christians, you know, if they're not really walking in the word, if they're not really given to the word, if they're not really spending time with God, they're not really praying, they're not really growing, there's a tendency to resist the word, to resist spending time in the word. And it's because of the amount of correction that's coming at them from the word. It's that conviction, in a sense, coming from the Holy Spirit and coming from the word. But you need to understand that that's okay. You know, we've got to stop running away from the word. We've got to stop running away from what the word is trying to do for us. We got to stop that. We've got to, you know, we've got to let that have its place in our life and understand that we're under the grace of God, that the grace of God is that he's not mad at us anymore. The grace of God is that he's not going to judge us. He's not going to condemn us. He's not going to punish us. None of that. We don't have to worry about that. We are in his grace. And that means that because we're in his grace, we can go through the process of correction. We can go through the process of change, you know, and even as hard as it can be, we can go through that process and understand that God's totally on our side, that God loves us. He's not upset with us, that this is just a normal part of growing up in Christ and growing up spiritually. And it's funny because you look at children, babies, you know, they get to be, you know, when they're babies, you know, we just coddle them. We take care of them. We hug them. We hold them. We play with them. All right. But as they become mobile and they hit that area of, you know, around 2 years old, you know, when they hit that age, you know, they're now mobile. They're now mobile. And they're now beginning to become self-aware. And so that's the reason why a lot of times they're a little bit rebellious. They'll push their way. You know, they'll tend to do things when you tell them not to. And it's because they're that self-awareness, all right? Now, even with children, we have to teach them the things and correct them and prevent them from doing things that we know could be destructive to them in their lives. And for the most part, as a good parent, that's what your goal is. Your goal is to teach your child how to avoid those things that are going to be destructive to them. And a lot of times kids, they grow up, even in their teen years before they become adults, they have this tendency to become resentful to their parents because they're fed up with being told what to do. And, you know, they want to take flight and do their own thing. And they think they know it all. And it isn't until they hit past that age, you know, 18 to 20 through their early 20s and up until even when they get to about 30. In some cases, it doesn't happen until they get married and start having kids. They start realizing, you know what, my parents, you know, they were really trying to help me. Hopefully they have that honesty and they begin to understand that, you know, what we were trying to do as parents in their lives, all right? And it's the same with us and God. God's not out to hurt us. He's trying to help us grow up. And trying to help prevent us from stepping into things that are totally destructive to our lives. And that's why you see a lot, especially here in Proverbs, you see a lot of talk about being foolish, about being simple, you know, about given to the flesh and following people that are evil and that are criminal and everything else. You know, it's that whole thing that wisdom is trying to prevent these bad things from happening. And so if we're going to really, really give ourselves to going after wisdom and even just growing up in Christ, we've got to be willing to accept that correction. We've got to be willing to let the word have its place. And if we do that, then there is incredible benefit. And you're going to see that here. There's going to be incredible benefit for us if we do that. You're going to see it in this chapter especially. So when it says get a hold of instruction, which is correction and chastising and restraint, as we start learning these things and we start letting the word correct us, we all of a sudden step from one place into another. And that next place is that place of knowledge. And of course, you know, that word knowledge there is the word da'at, which is a very powerful word in Hebrew. It means knowledge and perception. This is coming out of Brown Driver's Briggs. I didn't put them in there. I forgot to. But it's knowledge, perception, and then skill and discernment. So it's knowledge first, perception and skill, and then discernment. So as we learn, as we get a hold of that instruction and we start learning restraint in our lives, we start learning how to hear the warning and avoid the pitfall. As we start walking correctly, then we're ready for the next step. And even Hebrews 5 talks about that. It says, when by the time you ought to be teachers, you know, you have need of someone teach you again, you know, because you still are needing milk and you're not ready for solid food, for meat, okay? And so God, he doesn't want to leave us in that baby state because that's not a good place to be in. A lot of people want to stay babies. They just want God to take care of them. They want somebody else to be responsible for their lives. And you got to get over that because you're going to stand before Jesus one day and he's not going to ask your husband or your wife. He's not going to ask your parents. He's not going to ask your pastor what you were doing and why you did what you did. It's going to be you and him face to face. And we're all going to go through this, not just you, but we all are going to go through this. We're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account for what we did in our bodies. And so now is the time to make those changes. And I really believe in my heart that where we're going to really be dealt with in that is not every little thing we did. It's going to be those things that we never allowed us, we never let God correct us about. We never changed in those areas. We continue to behave in the manner that we ought not have behaved. We should have shown more maturity and grew up. And so as a result, we'll have to answer for that. But, you know, every little piddly thing, God is not, he's not like that. He's not going to deal with those things because those things are under the blood. You know, if you realize you did something wrong and you apologize to whoever or you apologize to God, and, you confessed it out before him, God was faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of that. So he's not going to come back and he's not going to, you know, bring that up to you anymore. Your sins have been removed. And that's Jesus being our advocate, okay? But those things that we didn't get rid of, those things that we held on to, that selfishness or that arrogance or that, you know, that fear and that worry, that refusal to believe, whatever it is, those things that we held on to God was trying to correct and get us free from so that we could grow and develop and move on in the ways that we should to our betterment, all right? Those are the things that we're going to have to answer for. God's going to call us on. That's what I believe. And it's not meant to be, you know, because even Paul says, you know, I don't look at myself as being perfect by any means. He goes, but the Lord will, he'll deal with that then. And Paul just went his way and did what he was called to do. And if he messed up, he would apologize or, you know, he confessed it out before the Father. But the rest of it, he didn't know where he might have been messing up. So he did his best and he put and rolled the care of it over into God's hands. And I'm sure that Jesus wasn't going to beat on him over that kind of stuff. Think about Peter. I mean, Peter, we see Peter's failures in the Word. And I'm sure Peter repented of those things. Do you think on that day when he stands before Jesus for correction, do you think that Jesus is going to bring all that up? No, I think Peter dealt with it pretty much. And so that's not going to be the issue, if there is really any issue. Amen. We don't know. I mean, if you're doing your best, I mean, if you're being faithful with a little, God's going to make you ruler over much. And that's all he's asking us to do is be faithful with the little. Amen. Whatever he gives us to do, that little bit he gives us to do is to be faithful with that. Now, so you got to understand that wisdom is always pushing, growing up, maturing, developing. You know, wisdom is always looking for people that are doing that. Because you'll notice, receive my instruction is always basically first. And it's like if we're not willing to be corrected, if we're not willing to be develop restraint in our lives and grow up and receive instruction from the Lord, and in our case from the Holy Spirit, because he lives and dwells inside of us now, then, you know, then we can't very well go any further. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Your walk is going to stagnate and you're going to be in the same place and you're not going to really ever grow up. You're going to just be in that same place, in that same spot as you've always been. Okay. And that's not, I mean, you don't want to be caught in that spot. You want to be caught growing. You want to be caught, you know, developing. You want to be caught, you know, in faith. You don't want to be caught in unbelief. You want to be caught in faith, you know, when Jesus returns. You want to know that, you know what, I'm doing my part to the best that I know how. And that's all God's asking. Amen. As long as we do our part to the best we know how, God's going to be very happy with us. Amen. Now, and of course, the instruction helps us understand what our part is. It's going to help us understand, you know, where we're lacking, what we need to grow in. And then, of course, you know, the next step of that is to gain some knowledge, to gain some discernment, some perception, and some skill. I know that when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, God was working on me and correcting me. But as I was trying to grow, I was doing as much as I knew how to do at the moment to try and be better and better in things. You know, even though I was, God was adding knowledge to me at the same time. I mean, so as I made progress, You know, and it was, in some cases, it, I look back and I'm like, man, I didn't know any better than to get out of the rain. But as I did my best to take that instruction and make the changes, God would add knowledge to me. And I started developing spiritual skills. I started growing, you know, in the sense of understanding and discerning and perceiving, you know, the, you know, what God is trying to show us from the Word. Amen. And then, and developing that discernment spiritually. Amen. And so, you know, you start growing that way. Now, wisdom, let me just keep going because I think I'm going to have to go a little bit further before we really get into what I want to talk about. So, verse 11 goes on to say, you know, because he says, receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, God's telling us to make a choice here. He's telling us to make a choice here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to get rich in the world and you've got some skill, you've got some talent, you can get rich. You know, and a lot of people think that's the prime directive, that we're to raise our kids up for them to become wealthy, for them to become something, for them to become something that we can be proud of. That's wrong. We should be raising our kids up in wisdom, to hunger after wisdom, to thirst after the wisdom of God, and watch what the wisdom of God does for them. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There comes a point when you have to make a choice. Am I going to go after making all this money? Am I going to go after having all these possessions? Or am I going to go after growing and developing and letting wisdom have its impact and influence in my life? And until I make the choice to stop going after the glitter and start going after God, going after wisdom, you know, going after the Word, until I start making that choice, you're never going to really walk in wisdom. The only kind of wisdom you're ever going to walk in is worldly wisdom. And worldly wisdom is very dead spiritually. You need to understand that. And it'll drain the life out of you. I'm telling you, I know some people, man, they're out there and they're killing themselves working and becoming something. And for what purpose at the other end of it? Are they going to be really, truly satisfied? No. I keep hearing this over and over. It's just like a byword now. It's like almost like a proverb. People that were rich, and then all of a sudden they're coming to the end of their life, and their regret is, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have, you know, anything but sit there and labor their lives away trying to get rich. That's sad, but it's the truth. And it's just so common. And you'd think us as believers, we would know that. Let God, you know, if you go after wisdom, wisdom will take care of you. All right? Wisdom will take care of you. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies. All right? And the word better there is the word tob, which means good. But it carries that significance of comparison also, to where you can use it as a comparative. And so, you know, wisdom is gooder than rubies. You could say it like that. So wisdom is better than rubies. It's more pleasant. It's more agreeable. That's from Brown Driver's Briggs. It's more pleasant, more agreeable. It's better than rubies. And all the things one may desire. And that word desire there is the word kefetz in the Hebrew, or kefetz, or however you pronounce it. But it means pleasure. You know, and all the things one may desire as far as pleasure. Desire, having whatever they could consider a valuable thing, that you could be going after something valuable in your eyes. Wisdom is better than all of that. And all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. And of course, the word compared there is the word shavah, and it means, from Brown Driver's Briggs, it means to agree with, to be or become like, level or resemble. There's nothing that could resemble wisdom, that could be level in value to wisdom, or that could be become like wisdom, or to agree with wisdom. All the natural things that we could be going after cannot be compared with her. And so now, either God's, you know, either Solomon, through God through Solomon, is either telling the truth or telling a lie. And so if it's telling a lie, if you don't think that's true, if you don't believe that's true, you're going to go do your thing in life, and you're going to go live for whatever you want to live for. And then your relationship with God is going to be built on you trying to get God to bless you, to get God to put his hand of approval on you. You know, like, you know, God, I'm doing this and I'm doing it for you. So, you know, bless it. And you never do anything with it. How are you? I'm going to tell you something. The only way your job can ever be for God is if you're witnessing to people on your job. Your job is for you. You know, and we're supposed to work. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we're supposed to work. There's no question about that. I'm supposed to provide for my family. I'm supposed to take care of things. Amen. I'm supposed to help support my church, which I do. You know, and so we're supposed to do that. So there's no real, in my mind, and definitely from the Word, there is no special thing about you working. That's just something you do to make money. It's a way you create yourself a seed bag in order to give. You know, like it says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may have to give to him or her or them that are in need. That's what we should be doing. We should be blessing people. You know, that's what our lives should be. Our lives should be a blessing to people around us. Amen. You know, and spiritually, not based on our personality, not based on what, you know, who we think we are, based on God in us. That should be the blessing that goes out to people around us. Amen. And so there's nothing that we could desire, not one thing that you could desire that can be compared to wisdom. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I'm right. I, wisdom, dwell. That word dwell there is the word shakan, and it means through the idea of lodging, to reside or permanently stay. So in order to find wisdom, you have to find prudence. In order to walk in wisdom, you're going to have to learn how to walk in prudence. All right? Because wisdom lives in prudence. In other words, the only way we're going to get wisdom, people, is if we allow wisdom to instruct us, you know, do the disciplining that's needed in our lives. The only way we're going to get wisdom is if we go after knowledge and the knowledge of God, the knowledge of things that God knows, the knowledge of the Word of God and the things that are the principles of the Word of God and the principles of wisdom given to us from the Word of God. And then the only way we're going to walk in wisdom is if we start walking in prudence. If wisdom dwells in prudence, we need to learn to dwell in prudence. The word prudence there again is that word orma, and it means in a good sense discretion. Now I looked up the word discretion in the dictionary, and discretion is that discernment which enables a person to judge critically what is correct and proper. And it's also united with caution. In other words, if you're going to walk in wisdom, you're going to be a person given to walk in what is right or correct and proper. So you can look at things and you can say, that's correct and proper. That is not correct and proper. And then a whole thing of being united with caution contains in it this idea that we live cautiously. We don't live haphazardly. We don't live all out. We live cautiously. You know, I mean, it's funny because even when we decide to go for rides or we decide to do this or we decide to do that and we take off when we go, as we go, in my heart, in my mind, there's this cautiousness in me. There's this cautiousness that I'm applying to what we're doing to make sure that, you know, everything is okay, that there's not something that there's not some way that I'm opening a door of some sorts. And many times, you know, we'll pray when we go take off. We'll pray and pray for a good trip, for a good ride, that, you know, God takes care of us and watches over us. Amen. And those are the kinds of things that prudence is about, is to be able to judge and understand critically what is correct and proper, and to be cautious in our lives to seek out what's correct and what's proper. Some people have no idea of what is proper. They only have this idea of how they want to express themselves. They have no sense of what's proper, you know? And so you have to really pay attention. You got to watch out for that, because we all tend to do it. We all tend to kind of, you know, my way is the right way, and I, you know, I'm just going to go for it. And there's no caution in what we're doing. And God's telling us, hey, your way may not be the right way. It may not be the correct way. It may not be the proper way. And so we spend that little extra time with wisdom to understand what is correct and proper. We seek out what's the best way to do this. How is the best way to do this? Is this really proper to do at this time? And proper could be just something as simple as, is this really something that we should be spending money on right now? Or is this something we should be spending time on right now? Amen? And so you have to understand that, all right? Now, it goes on to say, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. I find out knowledge and discretion. So if we're going to walk in wisdom, we walk in prudence. We're going to dwell in prudence. And then we're going to go after finding out knowledge and discretion. The word find out there is the word masa, and it means to attain, or i.e. find or acquire. We're going to find out, we're going to find knowledge, we're going to acquire knowledge, and we're going to acquire discretion. So those are the three things. We're going after prudence, we're going after knowledge and discretion, okay? Now again, the word knowledge here is that word da'ath. We've already talked about that. So we know that we go from instruction now, you know, understanding that, you know, we've got to grow and change and stop doing things that are hurting us. We've got to start watching out for things that are wrong, that are going to cause us problems, that are sin. See, the wages of sin is death. God didn't define sin just because he said you can't do that. You know, some people have this idea that if I'm not hurting somebody, it's okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, and the reason, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, that Proverbs talks so much about adultery, is because, you know, that, you know, if you think that you're not hurting somebody, even if you're single and the other person's single and you're both totally for it, that person's not married to you. You're not married to that person. You are, in essence, if you're not married to that person, or if you're not interested in marrying that person, you're committing adultery with somebody else's wife or husband. And literally, when you do get involved in that physical way, you are gluing yourself to that person. And so every time you dump that person or separate from them, you're tearing a piece of your soul, a large part of your soul out. You're leaving it behind. And so after a while, that's the reason why the more and more people do these things, the less they're capable of being faithful, the less they're capable of even wanting to be faithful. And that's just the sad facts of it. And so there's consequences. And so, you know, we've got to understand the consequences of things. You know, the beginning of wisdom, and we'll get into that, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. You know, and what does the fear of the Lord mean? Two things. One, you respect God, and you respect him in a way that you're not going to offend him, and you're going to be obedient to what he tells you. And the other side of it is the consequences of not doing that. You know, fearing the consequences, understanding there are consequences to everything. Everything we do, there are consequences to, even if it's accidental. You don't know how many times I've hurt somebody, you know, and by saying something I had no idea would carry that kind of impact. And you know, you gotta stop and you gotta go, wait a minute, that's, you know, I gotta start paying attention here. Amen. That's not right, okay? And it's damaging to others. And so we have to understand consequences, all right? And then once you kind of begin to work on that in your life, because you're never going to perfectly do it, for one, and for two, you're just going to continue to work on it for the rest of your life. You're going to let God, you're going to give God the opportunity to teach you and show you and the Holy Spirit to help clean those things out more and more as you get in the Word, amen? But that's going to be an ongoing process. The next step is, you know what? I'm going after prudence, and I'm going after finding out knowledge. I'm going after discretion. All right. So prudence, we found out prudence means discretion. You know, and we understand what that means because I give you the definition from it. And then we talked about knowledge already, that it's knowledge, perception, skill, and discernment. So that, you know, this is interesting when you start thinking about it. You know, this is where a lot of people, they think that wisdom sometimes is just spiritual. And it is. There is. Wisdom is very spiritual. God's wisdom is spiritual because it descends from above. But you need to understand that wisdom is also skill sets. You know, just like when Moses was going to, when God had tasked Moses to create the tabernacle of meeting for the children of Israel, he gave him instructions and he said, and Moses, he had no clue as to what God wanted him to do. And God said, okay, what you got to do is you go to this person here, that person, go to this person for this, go to that person for that. Go to that person over there for the other thing. And he says, and show them what I've given you and they'll know exactly what to do because I've given them the wisdom to do that. They have the wisdom to do those things. And one of the words for the word Wisdom is skill. And that's why you see that word here in you know, used in da'at. It's knowledge, perception, skill, and discernment. So knowledge is having, you know, the information. Perception is being able to see, you know, where that information applies. Skill is the practice of that information and applying it. It's applying that. It's that skill, applying that information until you get good at it, until you begin to master it. And then discernment kind of picks up on all three of those, and it shows where you can shift information. You know, you got skill here, and you know, you've developed it, and then over here something arises, and you say, oh, hey, I can apply this here. That's discernment, all right? That gives you that ability to expand your knowledge and the use of what you know, all right? And that's something we should all be doing. I mean, I tell people all the time, you should be constantly learning. And that's what knowledge is. It's constantly learning, growing in that knowledge, and then desiring, and especially with the concept of da'at, it's taking that knowledge and learning how to put it to work in your life. And so now, I mean, at my age now, I'm not interested in just getting knowledge just so I can say I know something. To me, knowledge is only valid or relevant to me if it's something, if I can put it to work in a way that's going to be helpful to me, all right? I mean, I'm not going to waste my time learning everything there is to know about the body if I don't plan on, you know, being a doctor or a nurse or something like that. I mean, that's not valuable to me. But if I'm going to be working in a corporate environment, I'm going to spend my time getting a hold of the knowledge on how to write emails, how to write technically or business-wise. I'm going to look at how to use different software like Excel, Microsoft Word, you know, whatever else it is they have that you need to use. Outlook. Outlook's a really big one now. I mean, everything goes through that. Now you got Teams, you've got WebEx, you got all these different softwares that are out there that you got to learn how to use. And I mean, I use a lot more than I've even brought up right now that I've learned how to use. Those are skills. I had to go get the knowledge for some of those and develop that knowledge. And so that's why I tell people, if you want to increase your value, you have to add skills. And the only way you can do that is by going and get the knowledge for that skill and then start practicing it. I mean, I know how to build web pages. You know, I haven't done it in a while. I mean, I update ours and I fix ours and I make the adjustments when I need to. But I don't live my life, you know, doing websites. But yet where I work, I work as a project manager over projects that have to do with our website. And so because of what I know, that I can apply that knowledge all across what I'm doing and understand, you know, how it works and everything else, what's needed to be done. And so those are the kinds of things that as you do that, your skills begin to grow and develop, you know, and as they grow, your value grows along with it. That's why a lot of people, they hit a spot and they don't go any further, is because they haven't grown beyond that. They haven't developed skills beyond that. And that's what that knowledge is. That's what it's really getting at. And it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I go after, I gain and acquire knowledge and skill, and then discretion. I gain discretion as well. Now, in this word for discretion, it's actually the word mezima. And mezima is actually not a good word. You know, it means a plan, and then you'll see there in my definition right there, you'll see that right here, it's like sometimes good. Sometimes good. Most of the time, that word mezima is used for scheming and for doing things that are bad. You know, just coming up with ways to take advantage and abuse and use people and get what you want from them. All right, but sometimes that word is used for something good. And in this case, it's being used for something good, that we want to go after not just knowledge and the skills, but a plan. We want to go after with the good side of that. And the good side of that is the word sagacity. In other words, if you're going to go after the plan, that means you're going in a good way. If you're going after mezima, you're going after sagacity. And sagacity carries the meaning of quickness or acuteness of discernment. It also means the faculty of readily discerning and distinguishing ideas. The faculty of readily discerning and distinguishing ideas. You know, you can look at an idea and say, is this really a viable idea for me? Is this something that's really worthwhile? Is this something that God can get behind or is behind? You know, how can I, you know, I want to dig in, and I want to just, I don't want to fall for any idea. I don't want to live my life based on an idea that's not of God. But if you walk in wisdom, wisdom will show you how to put to work. And that's what this is about. How to put to work your skill sets in a way that's going to be beneficial for you. Beneficial for you. Because wisdom really, wisdom really is for you. I mean, you can use it to help your family and so on. But unless they have a heart for wisdom, it's not what you know is going to be of no value to them until they decide that they want that wisdom. You got to understand that every person stands before God on their own in that determination of whether or not they're going to go after wisdom. Amen. And you know, some people are going to say, well, you know, I don't really care. You know, I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with where I'm at. Well, what if God's not happy with where you're at? You know, what if God is a little bit frustrated with you because, hey, look, you know, he's called you to some things and he's given you some gifts and talents. He's given you some spiritual giftings and you're not doing anything with it. How do you think that's going to look when you get before Jesus? I think we, and I'm not trying to, you know, to shame you. I'm not trying to, you know, create fear or anything like that, but it's still the truth. You know, I mean, there are things that I haven't done that God, I thought at one time God called me to do and I haven't done it. And, you know, I know that if this was really God, I'm going to stand before Jesus and he's going to say, why didn't you do this? And I'm going to say, I didn't do it. I have no excuse. You know, I just didn't do that. You know, and I mean, in my own heart and my mind, I might think in myself that I have a reason. But when I stand before him and he says, why you didn't do it? I have no excuse. I am not going to sit there and make excuses to him. He knows my heart, man. He sees everything sitting right in front of him. And the fact of the matter is, if it really was something I believed was him and it was really something that I was committed to, I would have made time. I would have found a way to get it done. Amen. And that's what we have to understand. So sagacity is that quickness or acuteness. Acuteness means being sharp and discerning. Okay. It's the faculty of readily discerning and distinguishing ideas, and of also, this is sagacity, and of separating truth from falsehood. And that's a powerful skill right there. So you've got, you know, wisdom bringing you into prudence, which is true discretion, you know, which is, you know, enabling you to critically judge what is correct and proper. That's on the front side of it. Then as you begin to give yourself to wisdom, wisdom will take you into that place of finding out knowledge, attaining and going after knowledge, which is perception, skill, discernment, you know, information, and then skill to use that information appropriately. And then on top of that, at the other end of it, it's that ability, you know, to readily discern and distinguish ideas of how those things could be achieved and accomplished. And then what is true and what is false. The ability to separate out what's truth and what's false. There are some people, there are Christians today that are given to these ideologies that are out there right now that are totally false. They're totally false and they think that they're true and they're not. And they're going to be in for a rude awakening. Amen. We need to challenge ourselves. Are the ideas that we are given to, are they true or are they false? Only wisdom can take you down that road to show you that. See, it takes wisdom to be able to see that. And if you can't tell the difference between what's truth and what's falsehood, then you're lacking that wisdom. You're lacking that connection to wisdom and that ability to let wisdom take you through the process and show you what those things are. Amen. And so that's important for us to understand. Now, so, you know, wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that you may desire cannot be compared to her or with her. You will gain prudence, knowledge, and discretion from her. That's the thing, that as you walk, as you start going after wisdom, these are the specific ways. And this is where wisdom is upfront. It's telling you exact. Some people think that wisdom is some secret thing or it's some very ethereal thing that somewhere along the way, all of a sudden you'll get it and you'll have it. No, wisdom is very clear on what it's going to show you, what it's going to teach you, what it's going to cause you to gain. It's going to help you gain prudence, knowledge, and discretion. That's what it's going to do. You're going to gain prudence, knowledge, which includes skill sets, and then discretion. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been in situations out there on the, you know, when I was out witnessing at times, and One time in particular, I said something off the cuff, and the guy misunderstood me, and he was all of a sudden became threatening, you know, and I had to talk him down and say, look, you misunderstood me. I didn't mean it that way, you know, and I finally calmed him down, was able to talk to him for a little while. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you got to be able to see through things. You got to have that discretion, that ability to, you know, that discretion to be able to know what's correct and proper. And I mean, sometimes here at home, I'll open my mouth and say things and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. And it's because, you know, at that moment, I wasn't listening to prudence. I wasn't listening to discretion, you know. And so this is always a battle, you know, and a growth process. This is always something that we're constantly working on and developing in. And you can step out of it as easily, you know. It's not as easy to step into it, but you can step out of it very easily. And so you have to, it's one of those things. That's one of the reasons why God talks about us being sober, you know, being sober all the time. It's because with that soberness, you're less apt to do something dumb that's going to get you in trouble, that's going to hurt you, all right? And so when you're sober, you're more apt to show that discretion, in the sense of you're looking at, you know, what is this correct and proper? You know, I need to be a little cautious here. You know, I need to pay attention here and do right here, okay? And some people, they don't care. They'll just say whatever's on their mind and then pay the price for it later. Some people enjoy saying whatever comes on their mind just to see what it does. And that's just, I don't even know where to go with that. Those kind of people, they're disconnected from God completely at that point. Well, they're at least disconnected from wisdom. Amen. Now, next passage here is Proverbs 8, 14 through 17. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. All right. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So again, here you have wisdom telling you exactly what to look forward to. This is what wisdom is going to produce in your life. And, you know, just as up here you'll gain prudence, knowledge, and discretion from her, you know, as you go along, wisdom will add to you counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, and then also strength and the ability to rule and reign. You know, by wisdom you become strong and able to gain dominion. Now, counsel is mine. That word counsel is the word etza, and it means advice. By implication, a plan. Brown Jarvis Briggs defines it as counsel, advice, and purpose. Counsel, advice, and purpose. So counsel is mine. Wisdom, with wisdom, you gain counsel and advice. You gain a plan. In this case, plan is really literally the plan, you know, the step process by which you'll get to do things and get them done. All right. Wisdom will counsel you. I remember one time I got into a situation and I was very frustrated with the Lord. And I said, Lord, what do I do with this? I don't even know what to do with this, you know, and I'm very frustrated right now. If I need to be corrected, I'm open to being corrected, but I need wisdom on this. And that's what I prayed. I said, I need wisdom on this. And then God gave me a scripture. And in that scripture, there was some correction. There was some correction, not a lot, but there was some direction. And that direction was what was powerful, because the direction required me changing directions. In other words, getting off of this one path and getting on this other path. And so I saw that and I said, oh my gosh, Lord, all right, I received that. I received the correction and I received the direction of it at the same time. And I started implementing it in my life, and it made a total difference in things that were going on around me. So understand that. I mean, counsel, God will give you advice. Wisdom will come to you. You ask God for wisdom, he'll give you advice, he'll give you counsel. And even out of that, he might give you a plan, a way to do things. Amen. Which is really cool. All right. Now, it goes on to say here, counsel is mine. It's wisdom's. Wisdom is the one that has the counsel. And then it says, and sound wisdom Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. And the word sound wisdom, that two words is actually one in the Hebrew, and it's the word tushiya. And it literally means support or ability. Directly, by direct meaning, it means help. In purpose and undertaking, intellectually means understanding. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as abiding success of the effect of sound wisdom. In other words, counsel is mine, and then abiding success as a result of applying that counsel. If you apply that counsel, you will have success. It's the effect of that sound wisdom, of the counsel. So if you see this, if you look at this and you take that up here, back up here, you know, as you gain prudence, knowledge, and discretion, and then as you go after that, and you go after counsel, all of that coming together becomes that sound wisdom, and it becomes the effect of sound wisdom. And those are the things that are the sound wisdom. And as you apply those things in your life and you become developed in those things in your life, all of a sudden you're going to have abiding success. It'll continue to stay with you. It'll remain with you. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, wisdom goes on to say, I am understanding. I am understanding. And the typical word for understanding is the word bina or bine. This word is bina. And you know, in Strong's it just says understanding, but Brown Drivers Briggs gives you two words. And those two words, one of them helps provide more insight into the difference between bine and bina. Bina is not just understanding, but it's also discernment. It's also being able to look into a problem and see what and how to change that problem and either get the victory over it, you know, turn it from a negative to a positive, gain success, or do whatever, because that's what sound wisdom is going to supply. It's going to supply that abiding success as the effect of sound wisdom. And so also wisdom becomes to you not just that sound wisdom, but it's also understanding. It's the ability to look into something, understand it, and really dig in and discern what maybe needs to be done. Amen. And how it should be done. Just like when I shared, you know, that God gave me the scripture as the answer to my prayer for wisdom, in that scripture was direction. It was, and that direction was a discernment. It gave me discernment to show me, you know, my part in something and what I had to change. And as I made that change and started doing it differently, things started working better for me. And so that became a successful thing for me. All right. Now, so counsel is mine, sound wisdom, I am understanding. And then it goes on to finish that verse out and say, I have strength. Strength. Wisdom has strength. When you're walking in wisdom, in and of itself, wisdom will produce strength inside of you. Why? Because you know you're right where you're supposed to be. You know you're doing right what you're supposed to do. You know what's correct and proper. You're being cautious. You're developing the skills. You're applying the knowledge in an appropriate way. All right? And you know, you've got the advice. You've got the, you know, the sound wisdom. You've got the, you know, the understanding, the ability, you know, and then you've got that discernment into it. Out of that, all of that coming together produces this solidity, this force inside of your, in the core of your soul, in the core of your spirit. And that's what the word is in the Hebrew. It's the word geburah. And, you know, geburah in a lot of places, it's translated as warrior or stuff like that. But here in this case, and it might be a variation on the word here, but it literally means force. You know, you're a force to be reckoned with. You know, wisdom causes you to have, wisdom in and of itself has force. And so when you're walking in wisdom, you as a person become a person of force, all right? And so by implication, it carries the meaning of valor and victory. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as strength, might, valor, and bravery. So when you have the wisdom and you know what you're supposed to be doing, not only do you have you become a force to be reckoned with, but you have the strength and you have the bravery to carry out wisdom's, you know, plan or advice. You know, what wisdom is showing you, what you're developing, that skill set in the application of it, you develop that, you develop it, you become very confident in what you're doing. You become very brave in what you're doing. All right. I mean, just in a simple way, when I was a glazer by trade, I worked with mirrors and glass, and glass could be windows or it could be storefronts. You know, some of these high rises, you see the fronts of that, all that glass. That's the kind of stuff we would do. And so we did it on all kinds of levels. All right. And so the more I began to know and I began to develop my skill in glazing, and I got the knowledge, and I took that knowledge and I applied it, and I got the skill developed and it became strong, and I was able to really get the discerning of how to do things in the sense of measuring, fabricating, and then installing. As I began to do that, the wisdom of it and the skill, that sound wisdom, which is that abiding success, began as I began to apply that, I started getting this abiding success where every time I did a job, it turned out right. It turned out right. It turned out right over and over again. And my goal was never perfection. I knew what my limitations were. I knew what the limitations of the materials I was working with were. And so, you know, I knew how to work within the constraints of all of that. I had the skills developed to do that. And so as I did that, I began to have this abiding success. Now, in that came this force. I became a force to be reckoned with. And so I'd walk into a home if I was measuring to do a bunch of mirrors or something like that in a home. And if I saw that what they were asking for, that it was going to be problematic, I had this wisdom, this sense about me to know what I could and couldn't do and how I could work the material and how I couldn't work the material. In other words, I saw where what was correct and proper as opposed to what was shoddy and wouldn't work. It would be ugly. And I mean, I've seen a lot of shoddy work when it comes to doing glass and mirrors. And so, you know, and because I had that wisdom, I could communicate out my understanding, you know, my insights, my discernment, my ability, you know, to look into it and tell a person, tell a customer, this won't work or this will work, or tell even a contractor, this isn't going to work. This is going to be the problem that you're going to face. And now, if you're okay with that, you got to sign off and then you're going to pay for it. And if the customer doesn't like it, you're on your own. and that happened quite a few times where we would do jobs. They'd pay us out. Customer would come in and see it and say, I don't like that. It didn't turn out the way I thought it would turn out. And they would, there in some cases, they'd rip the glass out and put wallpaper there. You know, just rip the mirrors out and put wallpaper there. And it's just because, you know, the designer had an idea and it didn't match up at all. And the job was done correctly. It was all done. It was proper, but it didn't match up. And we tried to tell him that. And so they ended up saying, okay, they signed off. And so, you know, they ended up putting wallpaper there. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But it's one of those things where you carry this force inside of you of knowing what you're doing. And you know when to speak up and say, that's not going to work, or you need to watch out for this, or hey, maybe we could try it this way and get some results. And that's what wisdom does. When you get to that point, you now have this force inside of you because you're in wisdom. You're walking in wisdom. You now begin to have this force on the inside of you that allows you to be able to speak up that way. Now, it goes on to say, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. And I'm not going to get into that too much because, you know, because of wisdom, you know, there starts to become this reigning process. You begin to rule. And I've experienced this in different jobs and stuff like that the more the skills that I had begin to take over, in the sense of people began to understand, hey, I've got the skill. I know what I'm doing. And they just, you know, they'd tell me to go get it done. I'd get it done. My skill set, my wisdom that I walked in would begin to rule. It would begin to have sway. All right. And this interesting is the word reign here is the word malak, and it means to reign inceptively, which means, you know, the insight into it means, you know, the process of it also. And how you get there is to ascend the throne causationally, to induct into royalty. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to be or become king or queen, to reign. And people, I mean, I've told people this, when you master your job, you start exercising dominion over your work and you start reigning. And people stop messing. They don't mess with you. They don't bother you. They, you know, they, when they, you got to do something, they give you the work to get it done, and then they let you go get it done. And I mean, you still have to answer to them. I mean, you still got to let them know what's going on, if it's working, not working, or whatever. That, all that stuff is part of it. But for the most part, they don't, you know, you start reigning in your area. You stop having to, you know, you stop being, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Micromanaged. You stop being micromanaged so much. All right. Now, so, and then it goes on to say, by me, princes rule. And that, that word rule there is the word sarar, which means to have. Transitively, it means to exercise or get dominion. Okay, you, to have dominion, to exercise dominion. Amen. And then nobles, all the judges of the earth. And then verse 17 says, I love those who love me. See, it, you know, if you want wisdom, you got to fall in love with wisdom. And the word love there is the word ahab, which is the typical word in the Old Testament for love. It's the counterpart to agape. All right. To have affection for, to love. All right. Now, I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently. And this becomes the dividing line right here to who, those who end up with wisdom and those who don't. Those who seek me diligently. Seek diligently is actually just one word. It's the word shakar. And it literally means to dawn. In other words, get up at daybreak. To be up early at any task. That's what it means. By implication of earnestness. By extension, to search for with painstaking. And that's what I think that this is means for us. If we're going to seek, those who seek wisdom diligently, they search for wisdom with painstaking. In other words, they turn over every rock. They look for everything. I find myself, today I found myself doing this a lot. I found myself looking up words, and not looking them up in the Hebrew or Greek, but searching, you know, for, you know, things, phrases that I mean, God would just kind of put something inside me, and I was in the Word, and I would see those things, and I would start searching them out in the Word, and look, reading through the Scriptures, and it became painstaking after a while, because I would have to go to the Scripture and look it up, and look at what, you know, what Strong said about it, and maybe even look at what, you know, what other Scriptures, how it worked in other Scriptures, and so on, how that word worked in different Scriptures, or whether or not they were even the same words, because when you look up the English word, sometimes they're not the same Hebrew word or the same Greek word, all right? But I, you know, it's that painstaking, you know, seeking diligently, taking the time, putting in the effort to seek and gain wisdom. And I didn't get to it tonight, some of the things that I wanted to talk about, but I'll give you kind of a little bit of a foreshadowing here, is that, you know, if you love wisdom, and that's the heart attitude. In other words, you're not doing this because you feel like you have to. You want this. You have an affection for wisdom. You love wisdom. You want to know what it means to be wise. You want to walk in wisdom. You want to gain these capabilities that wisdom produces in our lives. And so you got to start with that attitude of love. You got to have an affection, a desire for that wisdom. Amen. And then you got to seek wisdom diligently. Some of you might have to get up early in the morning because you're morning people and seek it. Some of you are not necessarily morning people. You're more night people. You get off work. You spend time seeking wisdom. Amen. Just the key thing is you're doing it diligently and painstakingly. In other words, you're taking the time to root through everything that the Word is saying to gain an understanding of what it means and what God is telling you, what wisdom is trying to show you. All right? And of course, the promise is, if you have the attitude right, you have the actions right, you have the behavior right, that you're doing this painstakingly, you're going to find wisdom. Those who love me and those who seek, you know, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. In other words, they'll attain to me. They will acquire me. All right? That's wisdom for you, people. And so we'll stop here, but I want you to understand that wisdom is putting out a call. There's this thing that if you go after these areas that I've been talking about tonight, and tonight's a good place to pick up and start. If you start looking at these things and going after them, you know, you are actually going to be in wisdom as you begin to achieve those. You achieve knowledge, you're achieving some wisdom. If you're achieving some skill in that knowledge, you're achieving wisdom. If you're going after discretion, you're achieving wisdom. If you're going after sagacity, you know, then you're achieving wisdom. You're in it. If you're going after these things and you put yourself in it, you're getting into it, you're going after it, you're all of a sudden you're immersed in that wisdom, and wisdom will begin to speak to you. And wisdom will begin to speak to you in more practical ways than you can even imagine. All right? And so I'm not going to sit here and create a bunch of platitudes for you. There's plenty of them here in Proverbs. We're going to get into them. But they're not empty. They're valuable. And so I'm not going to create a bunch of sayings, this is wisdom, all right? Just so you can sit there and put it on a bumper sticker and not live it. Wisdom is something you're constantly putting to work in your life. That's what shows you love it. That's what shows that you're serious about going after it, is that as you gain it, you apply it. You put it to work in your life. Amen? Praise God. I'll stop here for tonight.